Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
So the first half of the year, 2019, has been an adventure for me. How many of you guys felt like 2019 has been this amazing adventure? Roller coasters where you're real high and things are going great, and then you hit some lows. Well, you're like, darn, God, where you at? And so that's life. It is hills, it is valleys, but it is an adventure. One of the adventures I've been on has been starting working out again. So I shared this picture last time when I was preaching, but I didn't give y'all the context of how hard it was for me and Tasha to start doing that. That's 18 months worth of prayer right there. 18 months. It was hard to get started. I've been working with one of the emerging leaders group, these gentlemen up here, and it's a group that we're trying to, you know, our leadership development. And that was hard to get started. Because as I look at those guys, I don't know which one of them are going to be around in a year. It was very challenging to put the effort into facilitating that group. And then this last adventure I just went on was up to Delaware Christian Church with Mike Patterson. Man, let me tell y'all, boy, we'll talk about it later. I'm just going to leave it there. So what is it about adventures that makes it so difficult for us to start on them? Sometimes it's just the mindset of just stepping out and saying, okay, I'm going to do this. It may be because we don't even know where to start. We don't even know what adventure we want to go on. Sometimes we're not interested in just anything but ourselves. Sometimes we don't have time. Oh, I don't have the time. I'm too busy. Maybe you're just disinterested in life in itself because you want to stay in the zone of comfort. And then sometimes it's fear. And fear can encase our heart and it keeps us stuck in stone. And so that's the way I felt starting this Delaware adventure. When this was first talked about, even before Mike went out there, I'm like, man, I hope they don't ask me to go up there, man. Because, that's just way outside my comfort zone. Get on a plane, go to a whole nother church, share my faith. I'm like, dude, I am afraid of that. I want to be with something I know, something that's familiar. And so I did not want to go to Delaware because of the fear that Satan had set in my heart. So what we want to look at today is when the adventure first started for the Marvel Universe. Because we got to go back to when it was initiated. And that's going to be with the very first Avengers movie. When the team came together. When they said, hey, there is a problem and we need to get together to solve it. But I'll tell you what, that movie, anybody remember when it came out? What year? See, it's been that long. 2012. Man, in 2012, I was going through so much crap. I was not worried about no Avengers. I thought Avengers was for like the comic book fanatic and the comic book addict. I'm like, man, I'm not getting caught up in all that cartoon stuff. So I didn't even watch the movie for like 3-4 years after it came out. And my children put me down on it. So side note, older people, please know that younger people can teach us some stuff. Even our children. And so when they put me down on it, I was like, wow, this is incredible. And now look how funny God is. For almost 7 years later, here I am preaching about the movie. Never would have thought it. Let's go ahead and check out the trailer. So when you look at a synopsis, you know, I was like, well, I'm gonna come up with something nice and catchy and, you know, try to explain it out. I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. I'm just going to read what the people that get paid millions of dollars to do and review these movies, and I'm just going to keep it simple. But it really brings in, I want y'all to think about the spiritual battle that's going on as I read this. When Thor's evil brother Loki gains access to the unlimited power of the energy cube called the Tesseract, Nick Fury, director of S.H.I.E.L.D., initiates a superhero recruitment effort to defeat the unprecedented threat to Earth. Joining Fury's dream team, Earth's mightiest heroes must come together and learn to fight as a team if they are going to stop the evil Loki and his alien army from enslaving humanity. Now, if that is not the spiritual battle, I don't know what is. Right. When you talk about somebody evil coming down to try to enslave humanity, even when you look at our situation today, people are enslaved right now. And so what Jesus wants to do, Jesus wants to go on a superhero recruitment effort. Jesus wants mighty heroes, Earth's mightiest heroes, to be on his team to fight this battle. Nick Fury knew. You know what's funny about Nick Fury? This dude ain't got no superpowers, but he is able to perceive all these things that are going to happen. He understands that if we don't get some special warriors to fight this, we are done. And that is Jesus's call for us. So we want to look at what does it mean to be recruited to be on Jesus's team. Amen. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 is an incredible chapter that basically is so simple in its concept. It is faith. Nothing more, nothing less. If you look at all the stories in Matthew chapter 8, they empower us to engage in faith. And Matthew chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 18. This is what Jesus is calling us to do. He's calling us to go on the adventure with him. Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. When a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first, let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Jesus is having a conversation with two individuals that have two separate issues going on in their heart. Jesus is trying to get them to understand, hey, you got to count the cost before you follow me. You also can't drag your feet in counting that cost. So the first guy that he comes upon is the teacher of the law. We got to understand who this individual is. This is a Pharisee. This guy is all about pomp and circumstance and worldly achievements. And they get into the type of clothes they wear to show how high they are with respect to everybody else in the community. So he says, man, Jesus got a following. I want that following. I want that power. I want that prestige. So Jesus, I will go where you want to go. When you look at some of the biblical scholars, they also think that there was a monetary gain to this as well. He thought that Jesus was getting paid for all these miracle signs and wonders. Jesus says, shoot, man, I ain't got no place to sleep tonight, dog. You sure you want to sign up for this? Even the birds got a more comfortable place. This not going to be the Waldorf Astoria, boss. This is going to be challenging. And Jesus wasn't lying. He had a mobile ministry. He wasn't set up in some one little spot. Yeah, his home base was in Capernaum, but the brother was moving all around. He would rely on hospitality to lay his head down at night. So he was challenging this guy. This is not going to be a worldly gain here. You're going to have to give up some of your securities in life if you're going to follow me. The second guy he came across, it says, was his disciple, somebody that had been following Jesus. And this can work both sides. Whether you made the decision to follow Jesus or you're still trying to contemplate it, this is real here. This guy said, I got to go bury my dad. So if y'all give me a couple minutes, I'm going to nerd out on y'all a little bit if you don't mind, church. Is that okay? All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. So when you look at the ancient Jewish culture when it comes to burial, there was a primary burial that happened. As soon as you died, and you can see this in Lazarus, you can see this in Darius's daughter, the young girl that passed away. As soon as you die, don't pass go, don't collect $200, you were buried. You were wrapped in linen. The procession started from the family's house to the tomb. They didn't wait a week or a couple of days like we do in our culture now. You got buried that day. Now, if you were just a regular family member or a friend, you would mourn for 1 week. You wouldn't leave the house, so you wouldn't be having a conversation with a rabbi because you would be in mourning. That was their culture. If it was your parent, like this particular guy, you would mourn for 1 year. You wouldn't leave the house for 1 year. So how would you be having a conversation with a dude talking about, well, hold on, I'm going to follow you. Let me go bury my dad. So either his dad had not yet died or his father had passed away. Either way, he was basically telling Jesus, give me a couple years. Give me 1 year or maybe even more. Then I may follow you. He said, I got more important things going on. I got family obligations. And I'm just not willing to do that right now, Jesus. So how does that resonate with our heart? To me, it sounds like both of these guys are making a lot of excuses for all the wrong reasons. Making excuses not to go on the adventure with Jesus. When I was in Delaware, getting outside my comfort zone, as Brother Patterson will say, come on, Jackson, we got work to do. So we're down there, and we're in the Wilmington downtown area walking around, and, you know, we're sharing our faith. There's a Jamaican festival going on, so the food is great, and it's hot. I don't know if y'all remember, it was hot, Jack. The heat index was 110, and these brothers want to walk on the concrete at 12 o'clock in the day to share our faith. I'm like, boy, I'm struggling, man. So we decided to cool off and go to the ice cream shop that the University of Delaware sponsors. So we go in there, and we're, you know, doing our thing. We get some ice cream, and so we start chopping it up with the students. There were three students there. And so I'm like, well, what kind of ice cream do y'all make downstairs? They make their ice cream in-house. And I'm like, well, shoot, you know, I love chocolate chip cookie dough. Y'all ever thought about making that? And so we're talking about making ice cream. I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I know what kind of ice cream I want. And Mike said, well, brother, you're doing all that talking. Why don't you invite him to church? I'm like, here go Patterson, man. Golly. So I go, I invite them to church. There were three of them. We talk it up, give them the flyer. I'm preaching, yada, yada, yada. And then so we go, we do our thing. We eat our ice cream, and then we get a tap on the shoulder. This is a guy by the name of Isaiah. Isaiah says, what's so special about y'all's church? So we sit down. We start talking. And he said, you know what? I got a couple of questions, but my number one question is, how do I become a man of God? What? Yep. 19 years old. How do I become a man of God? So we sit down, we start talking, and Marco's so excited. Marco said, hey, I'm the lead pastor. Marco's was so excited, he found another guy, man. And so Marco's was talking, he was going in. And Mike said, well, brother, he got a line of about 12 people here. We might want to let him go back to work. And so we had to, I mean, we were talking. We were going in. So we let the guy go back to work. We come back an hour later. Talk about being on the mission. I'm like, dude, can we just stay in the house? It's hot. Can we just chill out? So we go home, get water, come back out in an hour, meet this guy. This guy says, hey, I'm ready. I've also invited my mom and my sister to come along and study as well. And I'm like, dude, this is incredible, man. This is like not the woman at the well, the man at the well. And sits down, and his mom kind of starts going in on us, dude. She is like a firecracker, Jack. She's asking questions. Hey, what do y'all do? Hey, what do y'all believe in? Marcos is going in. Mike is doing his thing about culture and how we need to help men. And it was so impactful. Isaiah goes on to not make any excuses whatsoever. This guy has not one study, not two studies, but three Bible studies in 3 days. He didn't make any excuses about learning how to be on Jesus's team. So sometimes we have to ask ourselves, what excuses are we making to follow Jesus? Church, can we go there today? Can we talk about this? Come on, well, let's go. We're going to talk about it. When you look at our ability to go on the adventure with Jesus, we turn down that adventure. We get so tied up in so many things. We get into our video game consoles because we feel like we're going to be bored. And we don't study our Bibles or read our scriptures. We get into relationships where Jesus is calling us to get out of that relationship, to get on the adventure with him. But we say, no. I like this better. This is more attractive to me. This is more comfortable. Because if I leave, then I get lonely and I'm afraid to be alone. Or I like having sex with my girlfriend and I know if I leave, I gotta stop. We got family obligations. This guy, he had family obligations as well that told Jesus, let me bury my father. But Jesus tells us no one should be more important than me. Hate mother, hate father, hate sister, hate brother, hate child, your own life to follow me. These family obligations, we have to understand where they go in our priority tree. You may not be able to be with your extended family on Sunday because God is calling you to something different. And we don't want to break away because we are afraid of what our extended family is going to say about us. Or maybe we're afraid that Jesus just can't heal those most crazy sin that you think in your brain, that Satan has put in your mind. There's no way Jesus can heal that. We can't make excuses because there is a war going on. People are dying. No, let me take that back. People are dead in their sin. And when you look at where we are, you know, Atlanta's got so many different things going on. I'm going to tell y'all right now, our biggest hurdle is our busyness. We are too doggone busy. And I'm the first one to raise my hand. But I've studied with so many different guys that just won't slow down. And I think the heart of it is they're afraid to really open up and find out what's in their heart. To deal with the nasty, the grunt, the stinky stuff that's been sitting there for 30 or 40 years or 20 years or 15 years, whatever the age may be. So we just keep going and going and going. We don't want to slow down because we're afraid to open up what's in that chest. We cannot allow fear to overcome us and make excuses about not getting on the battlefield with Jesus. Now, there are people out in this audience right now. There are people that may not be here right now. There may be people on Facebook that are currently studying the Bible, looking into God's word, and they are at the point of decision. So Jesus is saying, so are you going to follow me? You've been around thinking about it. Well, should I put my foot in? Should I take my foot out? Jesus is saying, the time is now. It is now. We have got to understand we're under attack. If somebody's whipping you, You're not going to sit there and let them whip you. Satan is whipping some of us. His boot is on our throat. And we have to say, I know how to fight this battle. We got to fight it with Jesus. But we got to make the decision to follow Jesus. The way that Jesus said, follow him. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, the time is now. The Avengers, when Nick Fury came, they worked through what they had to work through. Remember old Hulk was like, I don't know if y'all want me up in there, bro. I don't know if you want this. You work through what you got to work through. I totally get that. We're not saying make a blind decision. But they signed up. They saw the need. They saw people dying. They saw the power of Loki. They saw the power of Satan. We need to see that power. I'll tell y'all, when I was studying the Bible back in 2012, I had come to the point of decision. I knew, based off of my studies that Chris and Allison had with Tasha and I, that I needed to be baptized to have my sins forgiven and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I knew that I was not right with God. Now, I worked through my pride. That's a whole nother sermon. I ain't got time to talk about that. But I knew, but I postponed. I postponed for 60 days because I had my oral orthopedic boards coming up. Huge test. Totally defines me, right? If I don't pass this, I'm done. I said, it's too inconvenient for me to follow Jesus now. I need time to study. Like, I ain't got 5 minutes to go to some water and let somebody baptize me. And take an hour or two out of my day to spend time with God and the brothers and sisters in my life. No, I ain't got time for that. I got to study. So I delayed it for 60 days. Those days were not given to me. They were not guaranteed. And during that time, as always, the storms are hitting. I'm having professional setbacks. My marriage is in the toilet. I don't care about my kids, but I'm delaying the one thing that can heal it. And as I look back on it now, if I would have had Jesus, if I would have been on the team with him, on the adventure with him, I would have been much better able to deal with that problem for those 60 days. But I chose to postpone. And as I study with guys now, I tell them, don't postpone. When you come to the point of decision, don't postpone. Because that next 24 hours, that next 48 hours is not guaranteed to you. The battle is real. Satan wants you dead. We must have faith, repentance, baptism, after you have counted the cost and understood to follow Jesus. It's that simple. Let's not make it more complicated than it needs to be. Amen? Amen. So Jesus has challenged these guys to follow him. As the scripture moves on, Jesus goes on to get in the boat. Pick up in verse 23. Then he got into the boat. And his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Jesus was the first one in the boat. Now, I'm going to tell y'all right now, y'all laugh at my little boat now. We're going to have a problem. No, I'm just kidding. I went Fisher Price on them, man. I was trying to find me a yacht, but I couldn't find one. So this is Jesus. He is the captain of the ship. I know it's so cute. We said the same thing when we picked it up last night. is on the top of the boat. He is going to drive this boat that we're going to talk about. So when Jesus says, get on the boat, when Nick Fury came and gave the offer, the Avengers follow. The disciples follow. You must make the decision now to follow Jesus. We can't put it off any longer. The time is now, but it starts with Jesus. I see a lot of people talking about, is Jesus in your boat? Oh, yeah. No, this is Jesus' boat. We're getting in with Jesus. That's where I want to be. So you got to understand, when the disciples decided to get in the boat with Jesus, they got some baggage they're dealing with as well. So culturally, in the Jewish community, water and the sea was a thing that they were afraid of. Back during the Old Testament times, they thought creatures and just horrible things happened via the water and the sea. So in Jewish time, no. We don't want to go on the water, man. That's not where we want to be. We want to stay on the land. But these guys got in the boat. It's so funny how you think about Peter and Andrew. All them dudes made a living on the water, but culturally they were afraid of the water. But they had fear that they had to overcome and deal with. Wouldn't it have been great, though, if you read this first verse? They got in the boat with Jesus, and they strolled down the path, and the light was beautiful, and everybody just did well spiritually. Why didn't that verse get in there? What happened to that one? It talks about storms. And the Greek word for storm is actually earthquake. So, folks, we're not talking about a little downpour. We're not talking about some sprinkling. We're talking about earth-shattering, crushing water overrunning them. I would be afraid, too. So when you think about our life, storms are coming. Even after you get in the boat with Jesus. And that's the title of my message, In the Boat. So the Avengers also had to deal with fear as well. And they had some things that they had to work through. So they had some stuff going on in that group. There are a lot of different fears going on there. A lot of different fears that cause infighting to occur. Bruce was afraid of just being on the team because he may actually kill people, the wrong people. Loki's Tesseract had everybody's mind all mixed up and had them afraid of one another. So you got to be able to see that when fear is on our hearts, there are some crazy things that can happen. And we will start bickering with one another. We will shy away from what God puts on our heart. You saw what Bruce said. He was like, man, y'all drug me back into all this. I was helping people. He was afraid to get back in that fight for what may occur. So they had to work through their storms right there. The battle was on. You saw Hawkeye, he was tripping. He was for the other side, trying to sabotage. But they had to work through it. They needed to work through it in a hurry as well. So when you look at the storms that had come onto the Avengers, they had to learn to overcome their fear. Fear can do some crazy things to us. It can make us mean. It can make us annoyed. It can make us disinterested. It can cause bickering between people that truly have love for one another. Fear is something that will make you defensive. Well, you don't even have to be defensive. Because of what insecurities that you're working in your heart, that Satan is putting there. Fear will crush an adventure if it's not dealt with in a healthy way. Now, we all been through storms in our life. We all have different fears that will overcome us. We've been out there where we have failed, where we have been hurt. And now here goes somebody that we're close to, the church or your boss, asking you to put it back out there again. And then you have PTSD from the past that keeps you encased in fear. I understand. I have anxiety and worry about many things in my life. And what we got to be able to do is be very specific about what that fear is. Jesus asked the question, why are you so afraid? We have to ask ourselves that question. What are we afraid of?
Yeah.
What has us so afraid to get on the adventure with Jesus?
Amen.
And get in the boat?
Come on.
Now, I have my issues that I struggle with at my job and my practice when patients don't, you know, have a good outcome. And what I've learned to do is practically write down what the specific root of the fear is. So you got to keep tracing it back. Keep tracing it back until you get to the root. Once you've painted that picture, look at that scenario and see how crazy that looks. 92% of the things that we are afraid of never, ever happen. 96%. We're wasting a whole bunch of energy. So whether you have a fear of failure at school, where you're not going to be able to make the grade on the examination, whether you have a fear of rejection in relationships, whether your heart is, I don't want to look foolish on the job, I don't want to be embarrassed in front of my coworkers, or maybe it's the fear of health challenges, physical impairments. All of these things will cause us to introspectively look at our hearts, and they will prevent us from doing the things God has called us to do. And sometimes it requires professional help, where we need to sit down with a therapist and talk through these things. Because sometimes the fear has encased our heart for so long, for so many years, we can't do it on our own. So there were some fears that I had to work through when I went on this Delaware mission trip. So I told y'all about the good news up front because we want to encourage, right? The encouragement sandwich. Now here comes the other part. So number one, I didn't feel like leaving my family. I didn't feel like my vacation was long enough. Number two, I get to the airport. And I'm like, all right, we're cool. I'll sit down. Got a little time to read. You know, I don't play with Atlanta's airport. I get there, you know, 2 hours early. So I get the first text message, plane delayed. Okay. Second text message, plane delayed again. I'm like, all right, brother, I ain't going tonight. I already had fear in my heart of rejection. For when I got up there, somebody was going to tell me, no, I don't want to come to your church, that church. No, I don't want all that. So I was already working with that. So as Satan kept making it so much challenging, a 6-hour plane delay. Finally get on the flight after talk to Patterson. Patterson, well, brother, don't come tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to make it. I'm like, Mike, come on, man. I will get there, brother. So I get there. It's 11:30. It's 90 degrees at 11:30. At night, the heat wave was among us. Mike gets caught behind an accident. I'm sitting outside in 90 degree heat at 11:30 for 45 minutes. I'm hot. I'm like, I'm ready to go home. They can find somebody else to speak on Sunday. Boy, I was struggling so bad. And as soon as Mike picks me up, he hop out his car. Welcome to the adventure, brother. I'm like, man, are you tripping, dude? okay, so I'm praying, we're praying together. We wake up the next day, and then we meet Isaiah. Amen. So what would have happened if I didn't stay in the boat with Jesus? What would have happened if the disciples didn't stay in the boat with Jesus? Even though, yeah, they got afraid, at least they went to Jesus. Some of us, when the storms hit, we jump out of the boat and we say, we don't want no more Jesus. We're done. I want to go back to the world and the way things used to be. And we shut out the people that are trying to help us. Stay in the boat with Jesus during the storms. Stay in the boat. And that is the major point that I have for you today. Because we are fearless because we are in the boat with Jesus. We can overcome those fears if we stay in the boat with Jesus. Because when we go on adventures with Jesus, our faith will grow. Yeah. And the only way you can see that is if you get boots on the ground and you are seeing the amazing things Jesus is doing with your own eyes. Sometimes it's not good enough to hear it. You got to see it. You got to embrace it. And that's what that Delaware trip did for me. Nothing could have encouraged my faith. I don't care how much good news Angel brought back the first time. I had to go up there and see that for myself. And God needed me to see exactly what I saw. When that happens, we grow with God and we grow with one another who we're on the adventure with. Because we got that squad that we're on that adventure with. We got that squad that we did the Circle Maker Challenge with, right? So we grow with one another, but we got to make the decision to get in the boat with Jesus. That's where it starts. And when we get in the boat, then we're sent on the mission. That is our mission here. Seek, save, send. So yes, the leadership may come and ask you to do something outside your comfort zone and fear will set in, I guarantee you. You will feel like you can't do that or you don't have time to do that. Whatever Satan will use to get your heart to be less desired for that task. But I tell you, do not trust the fear. We must trust in God. Because if we trust in God, we will see God do audacious things. And it will blow our mind out of this world. Who thought that 6 superheroes could take on a whole planet of evil people? It was only 6 of them. So it only takes a few. It only takes a few. So what is your vision? What is the vision that God has put on your heart personally that you've been afraid to go and start? Angel talked about passion projects several months ago. Have we taken any step into starting that passion project? That brunch spot that God has put on your heart that you know you're an amazing cook, you have an amazing gift, and there's a spot just there in Atlanta where we could set up shop as the church and make an impact in the community. Maybe there's a bakery where you cook so great, you give everybody just a smile when they taste your treats. Have you taken the time to figure out a business plan with Coach Joe? Come on, Coach Joe. Or maybe it's something as simple as you need to help somebody else get in the boat with Jesus. Come on now. When we think about it, glory to God, sister, glory to God. So a side note, I got to do side note. I know Angel will want me to talk about this, so I'm going to do it. When we are working with people and they are at the point of decision, don't pull back from them. Don't let them go off and, oh, we let them figure it out. Continue to love them. Continue to follow up with them. Continue to have life talks with them. Continue to challenge them and say, the time is now. The battle is on. There's no time to bury the dead. because people are already dying. We have to make that decision now. So follow up with the people that we're helping get in the boat. Amen. We just need to obey what God puts on our hearts. Mike Patterson said, keep it simple, Jackson. That is success, doing what God puts on your heart. If we can embrace that culture, we will do amazing things for God. Yeah. Write this one down. Normal obedience leads to a fearless heart. Normal obedience leads to a fearless heart. So there is a couple that has really embodied this particular concept, and that's Ralph and Tanisha McGee. So we met Ralph and Tanisha first at the marriage retreat. They are Nick and Dom Hines' neighbor. And it's been on Nick and Dom's heart for a while now to reach out to them, to share life with them of what they have gotten by being in the boat with Jesus. And so Ralph has always just been an open book. He's always just been obedient. He wanted to look into God's word. He was present for all his studies. It wasn't a headlock trying to get him to do a whole bunch of stuff. And him and his wife sat down and says, we want to learn more about God. So they sat down with the brothers and the sisters, and it must have been 100 people in that study, man. But people were helping and serving and just sharing life with them. Before they came to that point, they had a miscarriage. The storms of life were on them. They could have retreated back and says, no, I'm still mourning the miscarriage. I'm not ready for this Jesus thing. But they were all in to learn about what does it mean to get in the boat with Jesus. Then Ralph worked through all of his stuff. He made the decision to be baptized, to become a disciple of Jesus Christ this past June. And Tanisha is growing in her faith as well. And through that process, they've had more storms. Now, Tanisha's in the hospital having one procedure, and now another procedure has to be done. So even when we join in the boat with Jesus, the storms of life are coming. But what I see with Ralph and Tanisha is they decided to stay in the boat. Amen. Yesterday at 10 o'clock, Brother Jonathan circled us up in prayer for them. And we're all on the phone praying circles around Ralph and Tanisha. Amen. And I'm just shedding tears on my line. I'm like, this is what God's church is supposed to do. But they had normal obedience that led to a fearless heart, because Ralph says, she's going to be healed. We're going to have a normal pregnancy. We're going to have a normal child. It's going to be healthy. The brother is steadfast during the storm because of normal obedience. So I have a couple of guys I want to come out and talk to or help talk about some stuff. So when we decide to get in the boat with Jesus, I had to make that decision. So August 24th, 2012, I made the decision to get in the boat with Jesus. Then Jesus says, all right, Jackson, you want a purpose? You want to figure out what I want you to do? You need to help somebody else get in the boat with Jesus. Move to Atlanta, Jonathan. Then Jonathan makes the decision to get in the boat with Jesus. Then we have Andreas. God says, Ed, you gotta help people get in the boat with Jesus. Let me use you. Andreas decides to get in the boat with Jesus. It doesn't stop. God says, Ed, you still got to work. You still got to toil. Moreno says, hey, I want to get in the boat with Jesus. And this is where it gets real exciting. This is where it gets real exciting. God puts on their heart, hey, you just can't stand around here. I need to work through you. So then they help David decide to get in the boat with Jesus. So now we got a crew, but with Jesus on the top. The time is now to decide. Are you going to get in the boat with Jesus? I know many of you are at that juncture where you're ready. Don't let Satan take your heart. It'll be the greatest decision you ever will make. It will revolutionize your whole existence. Every last relationship you thought about will be a billion times better when you get in the boat with Jesus. You will find out purpose. You will find out power. You will find out joy and peace. So what do I want you to do? I want you to do what my shirt says. I want you to get with the people that you've been studying the Bible with. I want you to gather them up today. And I want you to tell them, I have decided. I have decided to follow Jesus. And if you are helping somebody, I want you to call them today and encourage them. I've seen you change. You studied out the scriptures. You're ready to get in the boat with Jesus. The time is now. What would it look like if we would all crush fear with normal obedience and become God's fearless superheroes? Say, I am fearless.
I am fearless.
To go out and conquer the world by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I ain't got no more to say. I'm just going to pray. But this is the heart of God. With love and compassion, we can do anything if we get in the boat with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer for our communion. Holy Father God, you are absolutely incredible, Father. God, thank you for setting up the ability for us to have a relationship with your son, Jesus, to get in the boat with him, to stay in the boat with him, Father. Regardless of the storms, regardless of the challenges, Father, his blood makes it perfect, God. Father, we are thankful for each and every one of the brothers and sisters here, each and every one of our visitors, God. Please let our hearts be encouraged, God. Let our hearts be moved to action, to not let fear overcome us, but embrace your word, God. Embrace Jesus. That's all we need to embrace, Father. God, we are thankful for love. Father, you are love. You started thinking about us before time was time, God. You knew that we would need the blood of Jesus. And as we think about his body, as we think about his blood, Father, that day 2,000 years ago, let us know that we can be in a relationship with you, a loving, deep, intimate relationship if we get in the boat with Jesus. Father, we are thankful that you have allowed him to let his body be broken, so that we can be full. In your holy son's name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.